From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. Lately, businesses in Juneau and across Alaska have been surprised to find their alcohol licenses renewals denied by the state. The State Alcohol Board says it's trying to follow existing statute for recreational site licenses, which only list a few types of venues permitted to serve alcohol. A bill working its way through the legislature hopes to solve the issue. But legislators say more reforms are necessary to overhaul Alaska's outdated alcohol laws. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more on the story.
Thursdays are typically busy at Taku Lanes in Juneau. It's still early, but a sign hanging by the bar hints at why tonight might be slower than usual. It says no beer or wine sales available.
A lot of people have been disappointed. Even the Legislative League that bowls here, they're actually going to bowl here later tonight around 7. It's actually going to be a lot smaller than it used to be.
That's manager Kenny Paquin. He found out about 2 weeks ago they would have to stop selling beer and wine when the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board denied their license renewal. They've been selling without problems for 13 years.
It just sucks. I mean, we've been losing a lot of customers.
Without knowing it, Juneau's only bowling alley has found itself in the middle of a messy debate over where state law permits the sale of alcohol. As it turns out, a lot of venues, like bowling alleys and ski areas, are not listed specifically in the statute. A few years back, the Alcohol Board was audited and scolded by the legislature for being too liberal in handing out recreational site licenses. The board responded last year by getting stricter. Businesses like Taku Lanes and Eagle Crest Ski Area, which expected to serve alcohol for the first time this season, took a hit. It came to a head in December, when the board said it was considering denying a license for the Alaska State Fair, which has served alcohol for nearly 40 years. It eventually voted to extend the license, but the threat prompted Republican Senator Peter Michicki to propose a Band-Aid solution. He introduced Senate Bill 16, which would expand the definition of recreational sites to include ski areas, performing arts venues, and some other types of businesses that used to fit under the category.
People that have traditionally operated, quality operators licensed under the law that are currently at risk.
Even though bowling alleys aren't addressed in SB 16 yet, Michicki says he's open to including Taku Lanes and other affected businesses. But he also says they're not trying to create an open-door policy anyone can take advantage of.
We are not creating a church license so that after services folks can have a few beers, right? What we're trying to do is help those existing businesses to be clarified under statute.
According to Michicki, the section of state law that governs alcohol manufacturing and sales is an outdated hodgepodge of statutes and regulations. He plans to address that in a larger bill introduced last month. In the meantime, Michicki is optimistic that they can at least resolve recreational site licenses quickly with SB 16, which had a hearing in the Senate Finance Committee on Friday.
So I see no opposition to this legislation. I think it's likely that we move through this in a schedule that avoids that interruption to business.
Back at the bowling alley, Paquin says they'll be running a special for the foreseeable future to try to drum up more business.
Dollar bowling, so it'll be like a $5 cover charge, $1 for shoes, and $1 per game, all day, every day.
They hope it helps. Otherwise, the owner says she'll have to lay off employees. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And in other news, last month a Juneau principal was placed on leave when questions were raised about how staff at his former school handled reports of student abuse. A pair of new lawsuits claim that families had brought concerns to the attention of the Wasilla school leaders years before action was taken. KTOO Zoe Gruskin has more on how school districts can do a better job keeping kids safe.
Principal Scott Nelson's name does not appear in the lawsuits filed last month against his former employer. Still, Juneau School District Human Resources Director Daryl Smith says Nelson's connection to the case was a distraction from student learning at Riverbend Elementary School, where Nelson has worked since the beginning of the school year.
It kind of hindered the direction that the school needs to go for the rest of the year. And so in order just to allow the educational process to keep happening in that school, we thought it was best to take the action that we did.
Smith describes the Juneau School District's hiring and vetting practices as extensive. The steps include a federal background check, rounds of interviews, and making plenty of phone calls beyond a candidate's listed references.
It could be, like in the case of a school administrator, sometimes we'll call the admin assistant in that building and talk to them a little bit. And then we may ask for names of other people that might be worth talking to.
The district hired Nelson last spring. Smith says at no point in the hiring process did the district find anything to raise concerns about Nelson's commitment to student safety. If records and reference checks don't turn up any red flags, there isn't much other information available to school districts. However, there are steps districts can take during the hiring process to emphasize that student safety is taken very seriously. Amy Russell is the executive director of a child advocacy center in Washington State, and she trains professionals around the country, including in Alaska, how to recognize and prevent child abuse. She recommends districts include a pointed hypothetical question in their interview process.
So asking people, if you had this situation that you were presented with, a child has alleged that one of your colleagues is offending against the child, what would you do?
Russell says asking a question like this sends a strong signal to potential abusers. This is not a school where you can fly under the radar. It also encourages all staff to take reports and their own observations seriously. All teachers and administrators in Alaska schools are required by law to report any suspected abuse to the state. But Russell says too often that doesn't happen. She's heard many stories like the ones in the lawsuits of staff dismissing concerns.
They don't want to think that they would be socially connected to an individual or an institution that would do that. And so the immediate thought is this disbelief, no, that can't possibly be what's going on.
But Russell is very clear on this. Teachers and staff don't have to believe a claim in order to report it to authorities. Smith says that's exactly what he tells staff of the Juneau School District.
It's not your responsibility to decide. It's your responsibility to report.
Both staff and students in the Juneau School District receive training on abuse prevention, but only certain kinds of employees are required to report suspected abuse. Current state law leaves plenty of people who work in schools out of that reporting requirement, including substitute teachers, paraeducators, and custodians. Smith says closing that gap is something he'd like to see taken up in the legislature. As for changes the school district can make directly, Smith says as they enter hiring season, they're already thinking about how to better use the interview process to screen out potential abusers and to send this message to everyone. Juneau schools are serious about keeping kids safe. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
The state legislature adopted a citation earlier this week recognizing the contributions of Tlingit Code Talkers during World War II. Representatives and senators spoke about the outsized role that Alaska Natives have played in the military. KHNS's Henry Leisha has more on the story.
Any history buff would know of the Navajo Code Talkers that developed secret battle communications for the U.S. military. But until recently, few people knew that Tlingit soldiers also used their language to pass along secret information during World War II. Former state legislator and Sea Alaska board member Bill Thomas says he was friends with Robert Jeff David and George Lewis, two former Tlingit Code Talkers that lived in Haines. He didn't know the role they played in the war until after they passed away.
We all like to brag about what we did. And neither one of these two could say a word. And I'm totally surprised, you know, that these two were able to hold that secret and not let their children or their wives or anybody know that what they did.
Code Talker missions were highly classified, and the number of Tlingit people who served in this capacity is unknown. In 2013, Thomas attended a ceremony in Washington, D.C., where Congress awarded silver medals to five deceased Tlingit Code Talkers. 6 years have passed since the medals were awarded, and Thomas felt it was time that the state of Alaska recognized the soldiers' efforts as well.
It'd been too long, as far as I was concerned. I felt it was disappointing not to recognize these men and the significance of they had in the war effort.
Thomas and Sea Alaska Heritage recently proposed a legislative citation recognizing the importance of Tlingit Code Talkers. Several senators pointed out Alaska Natives' high rate of participation in the U.S. military before adopting the citation on Wednesday.
And that was Henry Leisha reporting. And it's 37 degrees in the capital city. Taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of this weekend. Tomorrow, there is a chance of snow before 10 a.m., then rain is likely. Highs near 38. For Sunday, rain and highs near 42. You're listening to KTOO.